This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Gonna get hard.
Speaking of that, where did Diggs get in trouble at? Where was he at? Was he in Texas?
Diggs was
I don't know where this happened.
Sounds like a real California.
Don't know where it happened, but the suit was filed in Houston, in Harris County, so I'm guessing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, maybe it did.
Damn, H-Town.
Brought it on here, huh?
Well, I there's a lot of Californians moving to Texas, so maybe it was California.
Yeah. A lot of Missourians, too. Yeah, how about that? All right, the drive is live, and today, the final time this week, our show, your chance to win rodeo tickets. On a rodeo ticket Thursday, Zach Top. That's the 27-year-old gentleman that you said is real, real classic.
I'd say traditional country. Classic is that would be spot on as well. A solo act, kind of in the cloth of the George Strait, Alan Jackson, as Tyler so accurately put yesterday. The Tracy Lawrence 90s country vibe and sound, the whole look, everything is traditional. Everything is traditional. It's good, man. That's a good one right there.
Coming up.
Turn that thing up a little bit.
Right, let him ride with it. Coming up, 3 o'clock hour, 3 and 5 o'clock hour, you will have chances to win tickets to see Zach Top coming up at the rodeo. And that's coming up. Hey, four tickets. You can take you can take three other folks, but say four in here.
Tyler's looking like he's. Tyler's, are you sure, weird. Tyler?
It's been that way the whole time, right?
That's what I read. Well, I'm just reading four. You know, yeah, I read what.
Oh, that look is because Tyler put it in there, and he's second guessing what he put in there.
Well, it was more the way Ron presented it. I was like, oh crap. And I was thinking about Texans tickets Tuesday.
I presented it a question like I did.
All that say, yes, R-D? It's four. It's four. No, not put it on R-D? You.
All right, a four-pack of tickets coming up. First chance you will have to win those is in the 3 o'clock hour and also in the 5 o'clock hour. Now, listen, you need to be listening because this is the final time this week. You got a chance to win some earlier today. On Payne and Pendergast, Within the Loop. This is it. Until next Tuesday will be your chance to win those tickets. All right. Hey, fellas, I'm kind of... I got Netflix this last night. Had me up to about 2:45.
Oh, what got you? What had you?
That Gabby, that American
Petite
Murder.
Whatever's your name?
Oh, man.
Powered through that the other night, dude. It was a good three-part doc.
Like, when's the last time you've been there? I've been there. I'm sitting there. I pull up, you know, clean up the kitchen, Courtney. I pull up and sit up there. I roll through. I said, I'll get it. I'll just check this out. I got to that first episode, but you know, I couldn't, and I thought I was going down. I thought, you know, it's one of about 11:45. I thought this will get me on to the end. And I'm telling you, I'm 30 minutes into that first episode, and now I'm on the edge. And I'm like, well, all right. This is what I'll do. I'm gonna just watch it until the intro comes on, just to get me ready on the second one. That intro came on, and they was out at that van. Spoiler alert, they're out the van. I said, oh,
felt your pulse go up.
I said, oh, man, let me get in here.
Dude, it's because all the footage they have.
Oh, like, my God.
Like, it's so intriguing because there's so much actual video of them, like, on their little van trip and stuff. The blogging, the video blogging, that stuff is nuts.
And then at one point, I thought it was fate. for me to continue to stay watching it. Because after the second episode ended, I hit the exit button, which generally takes me on out. And it didn't go out.
It was meant to be.
It didn't go out. So I said, oh, hell. I was doing it. And then it went, you know, it was like, you know, 4 seconds until the next episode. And the next episode came back on and they had me again.
Before you could get up and get shuffled on,
I said, that's 247.
I've actually watched one of the shorter, like, it was more like the first 48 type deal on that, like right when it was going on, right after it all happened.
I'd never heard of this story.
Clearly,
by watching it, it was a national story.
Yeah, but I was on a rock or something.
Yeah, it was definitely a national story. But anyway, I watched that, so I'm familiar with it. And I've there's been probably two or three times that I've been like, all right, let me settle in and take a peek at this, and I get distracted. But good to hear, it's a great one. I need to watch it, man.
Oh, you hadn't seen it?
Very good.
Oh, man, yeah, they had me.
I mean, I'm a sucker for any true crime kind of docs like this, documentaries, but this one's one of the better three-parters I've seen in a minute.
Yeah, it leaves me with, even though I know what happened, still leaves me with questions. Whatever. But I'm running on about 4 or 5 hours, more close to 4 hours. But I'm good though. I'm good. I'll give me a coffee.
You ain't no damn rookie. This ain't your first rodeo.
It's not. I'll be good. I do want to pass this across, and I want to get everybody's texter who just texted in. That's what I was trying not to give away to Clint. You're damn right. 516. You are damn right. I completely agree with you. Both of them. Both of they asses. Anyway.
What happened?
I don't want to give it away. You can't know that part. Don't read that part of the text line. All right. I want to pass this across, get everybody's reaction to this. The Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line, 713-572-4610. The beautiful people on YouTube and Twitch.
I growl and bark.
The Chiefs, this comes out. The Chiefs plan to tag Trey Smith with the hopes to work out an extension with him. Sources confirmed to the Kansas City Star. The Chiefs are planning to franchise tag him, and it's an intriguing move as KC hopes to keep one of its best free agents. He would get $23.4 million on a 1 year fully guaranteed, because that is the cost to franchise him as a guard. So they'll try to get a long-term deal worked out so they won't just be that flat rate. But he is the number one interior lineman free agent out there. And to me, I think if for the Texans, I'm not saying it's devastating, but this is not a good thing for the Texans that they don't have the ability to at least have the chance to bring in a Trey Smith. And that to me, and I've heard some people kind of talk about it in certain ways. But Trey Smith would have been the perfect fit at a right guard for this team. And they're going to potentially, it looks like, have to look at other resources to try to fill that void.
Yeah, look, I mean, hell, you can argue he's a top two or three free agent at any position that's available, given where he's at in his career and what he's done. I understand there's some advanced stats out there from a pass protection standpoint. Some graphs that I've seen that aren't real friendly.
Yeah, he's not perfect.
To Trey Smith. He's not perfect, but I'll argue when you play in front of Pat Mahomes, there's going to be some skewed numbers out there, especially when it comes to pass protection. He's not afraid to hold it. He's not afraid to create. He's not afraid to run backwards and throw it across, you know, all kind of jive. So I'm less worried about that and more worried about just Trey Smith with the package, the kind of guy that he is in terms of physicality, a real pro, obviously an extremely high ceiling, a true blue, built for interior O-line play. I mean, that's just what the Texans have to find. They have to find at least one, if not two of those. And obviously the higher rated the free agent is, the more surefire they're going to be. So you don't want to watch too many interior offensive linemen that are available on the free agent market. You don't want to watch them fall by the wayside one way or another while you're sitting there holding your wallet.
Good save, dude.
You could have said.
What'd y'all think I was going to say?
You could have said nuts, balls.
Oh. You went with pockets.
I meant hands in your pockets.
I think I'm going to do that the rest of the way.
I never held a pocket.
You going to hold your pockets?
I'm holding my back pockets the rest of the way right here. Cornbread on YouTube and Twitch. on to the next. You had to know the Chiefs wasn't going to let him go easily. No, I mean, as somebody, I would say that's kind of it's kind of
plugged in
with that organization. I think this, it's not a shock, but it is a bit of a surprise when you start adding up the numbers. They're paying their right tackle a ton of money in Juwan Taylor. They just made their center the highest paid center by a lot in football. They are paying Joe Tooney a huge amount of money, and he could get a new contract. And then they already need to make some additions at left tackle. And so it is a bit surprising that they are willing to put themselves in a position to take on $23.4 million if they don't get a long-term deal worked out. So I think it is a little bit surprising. I thought Trey, if you would have told me by the end of the year, I would have said Trey Smith would be gone. Because they've got some other guys that they need to take care of. I would have believed Trey Smith was going to be gone. So I think this, for me, somebody who I would say is a bit plugged in, I am a bit surprised that they are being this aggressive and going after Trey Smith like this.
Well, I mean, I got to believe this is just a step to move in a direction of getting a long-term deal done, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, to try to make it not that big of a hit.
You keep him from hitting the free agent market.
Hit the free agent market.
You lock him up and give yourself first right of refusal.
But then also, if you get a long-term deal, it's not going to be $24 million,
correct.
Right?
Correct.
You know, that you can't move around. They can sign a bonus and make that thing cheaper. But the one thing I have heard, I was listening to Sean as he was on talking to Luke and Reggie, and Reggie kind of talked about it a bit too, talking about the money, and I'm not sure if you want to pay that much or what it would cost for a guard. For the Texans and where the Texans are going, to like I'm not saying you go nuts, go crazy, and just give somebody $30 million a year, but it was so bad. Like, my thing is, if you got a chance to get the best, like, I heard the conversation of, hey, you don't have to be great at guard. No, I mean, no, you don't have to, but, like, if I'm a Texans, I've sat here for 5 years and watched this. Like, I think maybe it's time, maybe we try to take a chance at maybe getting one of the best at the guard spot, right? Like it feels like that's been, like, hey, let's just make it work with okay guys. No, it hadn't worked.
Yeah,
it hadn't worked to the tune of we're on our sixth offensive line coach.
Yeah,
that we feel like so. To me, if they're not seeking out, at least entertaining the best options out there, that's got to be at least. The hell with just okay options.
I would rather be great at guard than tackle. I just disagree. Now I think there was
you've been saying for a minute. You think the game is moving towards the interior pass?
Absolutely, 100%. There's zero doubt about it. There's zero doubt about it in my opinion right now. If you said, hey, what would you rather have? You know, two really good tackles or two really like the center of your O line, guard, center, guard solidified, and give me the middle of my line solidified without a doubt, no question about it. One, it's going to be cheaper, but two, like my quarterback has no chance. You saw it this year. You had Laremy Tunsil, arguably the best pass blocking tackle in the game. You had Laremy Tunsil, and your quarterback was still the most pressured and the most hit. I know, not literally 32nd, but one of the most hit quarterbacks and sacked as much as anybody other than who had more sacks? Caleb Williams. Right? And boy, we saw that was a jailbreaker. We saw that earlier.
If you add what he got in the playoffs, he hit it.
Yeah. So, I just am at a point where I'm going to turn a deaf ear to the whole, what are you going to do in pass protection if you don't have a Laremy Tunsil type deal? We just watched what happens if you've got a lockdown tackle. What could possibly happen? So that argument is dead in the water to me. I don't think it's coincidence that Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes, which you just mentioned, had Joe Tooney stayed at his position, guard, center, guard, that has been as good if not better than anybody in the league, and they were in another Super Bowl. Right, I mean,
and
the
team they played against is really good,
pretty damn good, right? They're pretty. Yeah. That's a different animal. Inside. Like I try to look at the teams that are going to have to win the way that, or that have won the way that C.J. Stroud's going to have to win with the Texans, and I don't think it's coincidence that Andy Reid looks at it and goes, let me solidify the middle of my offensive line and my tackles. And I know Jawan Taylor's got some, they got some money wrapped up in him. But at the end of the day, I'm willing to bet you, you ask Andy Reid, like he feels really comfortable in protecting his edges with extra, with certain protections, with scheme, with other players. But there ain't nothing you can do about that inside offensive line. I'm telling you, give me, this fits right into my blow it up and start over here with the Texans, which I know is not happening. But give me that middle, solidify the middle of that line and let me ride.
And as someone texted in just now to the text line, the Kansas City guard deal is a lesson in how important it is to protect your quarterback if he's the kind that makes you what you are. And I would just say, I know some people don't think a lot of the Chiefs, but I would think that you would love to have the similar amount of success that the Chiefs have had. I believe most of you respect and believe Andy Reid is a guy who is somebody that knows a lot of what he's doing.
Bundle Ruski do.
His quarterback is due to make $66 million next year. And he's got a middle linebacker that he probably wants to bring in. Justin Reed's a free agent. Charles Omenihu's a free agent. And he is willing to potentially put $24 million on the line for a guard. But like, and going and saying, hey, I'm going to keep this dude. This is the importance. I've taken care of the middle three of my guys thus far. So I think Andy Reid is showing what he views as the importance of not just having okay guards or okay interior guys. And to me, that kind of says something. So listen, I hope that it isn't like, hey man, we're out on Trey Smith, but hey man, we're willing to drop to the middle because it's cheaper somewhere for the Texans. I hope they are hoping and looking and saying, hey man, let's try to get the best absolute guy that we can get on the market, not the bargain.
Yeah, at guard and center, by the way.
You continue. I've just accepted that it's just going to be one.